Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com. Here to bring you the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers. And proud to have this episode presented by the good folks at SeatGeek and their fantastic SeatGeek app. Remember, you can use promo code LOPACERS and earn $20 back on your first ticket purchase from SeatGeek. This would be a good week to load up that app and take advantage of the offer, as the Pacers have a big game on Tuesday night at the Fieldhouse against Minnesota. Check it out. Okay, on this episode, we will take a quick look back at the Pacers' 107-94 win over the 76ers on Sunday evening. And we'll also hear from Nate McMillan what he had to say prior to the game when he confirmed that Monte Ellis would return to the starting lineup with Glenn Robinson III on the shelf, and what the Pacers need to improve regardless of who is playing. Also, you know, we'll hit up on the latest injuries. Glenn Robinson III is out, but now the Pacers are going to be down probably at least Al Jefferson for a while, possibly Rodney Stuckey. We'll hit on that as the playoff race for the final four spots in the East heats up. And the Pacers actually had a good night in that regard, along with their win over Philly. But to start, let's hit on the quick highlights of the game. As I mentioned, the Pacers started with Monte Ellis back in the starting lineup, kind of going full circle back to the beginning of the year with that lineup that they started that didn't end up working out real well. The main problem being the dynamic between Jeff Teague and Monte Ellis. Didn't really work out real well once Monte went to the bench. Seemed like Teague kind of flourished a little bit more. But now with Glenn Robinson III on the shelf, McMillan's idea is to bring in C.J. Miles off the bench where he can be a reserve 3-4 and have Rodney Stuckey play that normal shooting guard position. And then the Pacers will have, you know, back to their kind of a normal spots in the rotation, whereas before with Stuckey and Monte, not really a clean match there on the reserve unit. And of course, as we all know and have talked about for quite some time, the structure of this roster just makes it tough for either the starting lineup to be perfectly matched or the reserve unit. But now injuries are going to throw that into flux. So for one night at least, Monte started. And, you know, he was active. He does move the ball and keeps things going offensively, which is a positive when he's healthy and has some rest out there. You know, Monte finished the game with 10 points. It was, plus 12 on the night and didn't, you know, take a lot of ill-advised shots. You know, had a couple of assists, 4 rebounds. As we said, active player, played quite a few minutes, almost 30. Definitely a key role in this game. You know, Jeff Teague ended up with 16 points, only 4 assists, but the two seemed to work out fine. Paul George, a little slow getting going, but others were rolling. So he finished with 21 points and 8 rebounds. Big night turned in by Miles Turner, though. 17 points, 16 rebounds. That's only his second double-double in March. Actually, only a second double-double since the 1st of February. So been a long time coming for a big game like that. But it was good to see Miles have that type of effort. Especially coming off that game against Denver where he was frustrated by Nikola Jokic. Actually, I think McMillan mentioned that after the game that, you know, he was pretty fried after that game and upset with the way things went. And that lit a fire under him and got him going in this game, as he was a lot more active. Paul George also mentioned that, you know, if with lineup shifts potentially coming, if they're going to be playing a little more small, and they did play small against Philly because the matchups kind of forced that, that, you know, if they're playing smaller, Turner's really got to be aggressive on the glass. And that he was, also had a couple blocks as well. So filling that stat sheet, you know, 17 points on only 9 shots, pretty efficient night, got to the line 4 times. So pretty efficient night for Turner, and the Pacers needed it to finish off the Sixers. Also, you know, off the bench, Pacers got plenty of help with 3 players in double figures. Al Jefferson with 14 before he went down with the ankle sprain. Aaron Brooks had 10 points, and C.J. Miles bounced in and had that shot going. 10 points, only 4 shots, made a couple threes, but was able to get to the line and also helped out on the boards with 6 rebounds. So they're going to need that from him also, if they're playing those smaller lineups, and he's kind of splitting minutes at different positions out there. So quality night. Of course, Sixers aren't the highest quality opponent. The only thing about them is it seems like they have a different playing rotation every time you play them, depending upon injuries. But they always play pretty hard, and they're tough out. Just ask Chicago. They hammer the Bulls the other night. So you got to mind your business against them. Pacers know that. They had 2 overtime games with them earlier in this year and lost one of those games. So they do go to Philly for 1 more before the end of the regular season. And I imagine that one will be equally as critical to the Pacers' playoff hopes because things are really tightening up there in the East for those last 5 spots. Pacers play their next game against the Minnesota Timberwolves on Tuesday evening, a team that Pacers beat in Minnesota, but one that also is playing pretty well of late. Carl Anthony Towns in particular has really surged since the All-Star break, and their young talent, along with the defensive coaching, Tom Thibodeau, always going to make them a tough out. And the Pacers are going to need to keep winning because the schedule gets a little more difficult with 3 road games, tough road games, Memphis, Toronto, Cleveland, after they play the Timberwolves. So make sure you get out to the Fieldhouse on Tuesday night. Check out the ticket situation by hitting up the SeatGeek app. You know, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that make it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. Now, if you want to go to the game on Tuesday, let me check out where the tickets are right now. It's always so easy. You just pop up my phone, open up the SeatGeek app, hit on Pacers, Timberwolves game, and right now I'm seeing one of the best deals in the house. Ticket under $70, mid-court section, about 16 rows up. That's a quality seat. Other lower levels behind the basket, under $30. And, of course, upper deck tickets below $10. A lot of great options. So make sure you check out the app and pick a good seat for you that fits your budget. Because everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all for my listeners, get a $20 rebate of your first SeatGeek purchase. To get a $20 rebate, all you have to do is download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Then add promo code LOPACERS. That's all one word, all caps, LOPACERS. And then SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOPACERS today. Okay, so as we mentioned, there's been some injury issues with the Pacers. We want to make sure we get through that. Al Jefferson went down in a heap in the second half against the Sixers to the point where everybody on the bench, including Nate McMillan, all the players, were huddled around him. He eventually went off the court in a wheelchair. You know, everyone's thinking the worst, thinking, oh, my God, he broke his leg. But as it turns out, x-rays were negative, and he just had a severely sprained ankle, which, as Al said after the game, he's only had a few hundred times in his basketball playing days, so he knows what's ahead of him to get back on the court. Now, obviously, the severity, the swelling, all of that will fluctuate overnight and see how his body responds to treatment. And so how long he's going to be out, obviously, is not easy to forecast, other than the fact to say he's definitely going to be out on Tuesday and likely miss a few games, I would think, maybe even miss the whole three-game road trip coming up, but maybe ready for the final stretch run for the Pacers as they try and hold on to that playoff spot. So the other injury that occurred later in the game, just after Jefferson left, you could see Rodney Stuckey being treated on the bench. He had some issue, sore right knee, is the best diagnosis we can get. Was being treated a little bit, didn't return to the game. And, you know, obviously he's had hamstring issues, you know, feet issues, other things. And, you know, at this point, who knows how long or if Stuckey will be out. Again, that will be something they'll have to treat as day-to-day. It was also interesting that while he was getting his right knee looked at, you know, his left knee had ice on it. So Rodney is limping home here, it appears. And with so many missed games already, he's really had a struggle getting into any rhythm in that playing rotation. And right now would have been the best time for him because, as I mentioned, with Monte going back to starting lineup, that clean spot as a reserve two guard was open for Stuckey to come in and assume without having to share the time with Monte and kind of trying to be a part-time point guard, part-time shooting guard, as they kind of split those duties. Now, you know, it would be Brooks at the point guard and Stuckey at the two. So if he is out, Nate McMillan did say, you know, probably the obvious choice would be shortening the rotation because you're going to have Kevin Serafin and Rakeem Christmas as backup bigs. Lavoy Allen may also play some of that backup center role. Maybe the Pacers go small. And he also said that if Stuckey isn't available, they'd probably tighten up that wing rotation and just have Monte, PG, and CJ Miles split all the wing minutes. So that might not be a bad thing, although I guess that would probably solidify a two big man rotation for most of the time if CJ is actually doing some backup two as opposed to doing that backup 3-4. Now against Philly, Miles did play a lot of four because the Sixers were using Robert Covington as a power forward quite often. A couple times when they did have two bigs on the floor, especially Jefferson and Lavoy, it didn't last very long. McMillan was able to get one of them out of there. There was one point particularly in the second half where Lavoy was trying to cover up Covington out on the perimeter, and it just wasn't happening. Wasn't going to work. And CJ was quickly inserted, and Lavoy came out. So the Sixers provided an opportunity for a smaller lineup. And, you know, guess what? Pacers played pretty well. It really helps when you can spread out that lane. It really helped Al Jefferson, actually, before he got hurt. Again, mentioned that he had 14 points, and a lot of that was because there wasn't extra help readily available right there because the Pacers were able to spread the floor a little bit more. Also, obviously, creates more driving lanes when the defense doesn't have to sag in and not worry about covering Al or another big man out on the perimeter. So we'll see if, you know, happenstance turns out to be a positive here for the Pacers with that playing rotation. Before the game, kind of wanted to prod Nate McMillan on the rotation now with Glenn Robinson deferred out. You know, at media day, he talked about preferring a nine-man rotation. He even listed his nine-man rotation before the first practice. But then the team has played a 10-man rotation pretty much the whole season, and that has often included the two big men, which is not always ideal. And, you know, if they tighten that thing up and use CJ on that reserve unit as more of a power forward in and out with those different lineups. They could keep that nine-man rotation going, but McMillan wasn't talking about that before the game. He was a little bit after the game because of Stuckey being thrown into the mix. I also say I did see Monte Ellis go into the medical diagnostic room after the game. There's nothing on him, though, to report. He's still expected to be playing, and there was no further information about why he may have been looked at. But anyways, hopefully there's nothing that props up on that on the off day as well. But regardless, McMillan talked about really doesn't matter who's playing for the Pacers. They certainly have to play a certain way and play better, and often, you know, get stuck taking a lot of long twos, which is not ideal. And unfortunately, they have a lot of guys that are more comfortable doing that. Obviously, again, we're looking at roster construction there. But he did make the point that they do talk about it. So here's what Nate had to say before the game about adding Monte back into the starting lineup and what the team needs to do playing as they move forward here in the playoff race.
Nate, is Monte going to start?
Yes, yes.
Did you try to keep it as normal as possible, or are there things that you specifically want to see with Monte
in the starting lineup? No, I mean, this is really the rotation we started the season with. And you know, because of injuries and play, you know, we try to balance our bench to, you know, by putting Monte on that bench to try to get some production there. But, you know, but this is the group that we started the season with and the rotation that we pretty much started the season with. So we want him to continue to be aggressive. You know, gives us another ball handler in that lineup. You know, I'm hoping that we'll play a little faster with this group. You know, Stuckey will get back to his normal rotation, his position. You know, CJ will come in and play some three and four. So it's not, you know, a lineup that's strange to us. We should be pretty familiar with this. I've pretty much gone with this rotation by getting Monte into the lineup pretty quickly, even though he was coming off the bench. So, you know, we should be familiar with these rotations.
At the beginning of the season, you kind of had a preference for a nine-man rotation. As you head into this stretch in the playoffs, is that something you're looking to add right now?
Well, we've pretty much been a 10-man rotating team. You know, right from the start, you know, Glenn was, you know, the guy that really the third small forward at the start of the season. And we were playing Lavoie and Al as the backup four and five and playing CJ at 3-4 and Stuckey and Aaron Brooks at the backup one and two. So it's been a 10-man rotation pretty much most of the season. I don't see us getting to that unless we have another injury. You know, without Glenn being in the rotation, we pretty much just go back to the rotation we started the season with.
With Glenn out for at least a couple weeks, do you task him or assign him anything to keep an eye on, to keep track of?
Or get himself
film
healthy.
Studies?
You know,
simple as that.
His treatments, you know. He can't do anything. He can't do any running. You know, when you have that type of injury, there's bleeding going on. So he's limited as far as movement. But, you know, get healed. Get healthy as soon as possible.
Nate, in an ideal world this time of year, you'd be sort of fine-tuning, sharpening up, getting ready for the playoffs. But that's obviously not an ideal world right now. What kind of mode are you – are you thinking in terms of positioning at all? Is it just this game, this quarter, this possession still?
No, it's getting into the playoffs, you know. We got to win games, and everybody knows where we are and what we need to do. So, you know, we're talking about the playoffs. We got to get in the playoffs, and, you know, all of these games are important. You know, we dropped our home game you know, against Denver and, you know, two more here in our building before we go on the road. So it's one game at a time, and we gotta win games and play ourselves into the playoffs. You know, we can't depend on other teams. That position is not guaranteed, you know, so we got a lot of work to do.
Do you set specific goals defensively for a game, 100 points or percentage or anything like that?
We talk about what we need to do to, you know, there have been games where you take that approach. But it's game planning, what you need to do, what a team is doing well, and, you know, how we want to attack them. That's a goal, I think, at the beginning of the season. You set, far as defensive percentages, you kind of look at what the league has done in the past, what you have done in the past, and, you know, set those goals. And, again, you know, there's some nights when you're trying to motivate and challenge your team, you do go that way. But I think for the most part, you give them the game plan and what you want to try and execute on both ends of the floor.
In terms of pace, I know lately you want the pace to be faster. Is there anything that you've seen on film that suggests there are X amount of possessions or a pace that you can get to that you would like to see?
Well, it's more our play, you know. There's just times when I see we can push the ball, and you know, we're not getting consistent running. You know, sometimes, you know, Paul has the ball and Jeff is on the wing. You know, in that situation, we still want our wings to run. When Jeff has the ball, you know, sometimes we see our two and three in a trail position, and you know, four and five. You know, running for drags as opposed to rim running. So it's more of what I've seen, you know, on the floor, as opposed to, you know, looking at the numbers, so to speak. You know, your numbers can change. You know, sometimes when the defense picks up, the offense slows down. And, you know, the offense picks up, the defense is giving up more. You know, so just looking at our last few games, and so looking at the pace that we're playing at, and we just tend to get slow here.
Well, Nate, on Friday, you guys had we talked a little bit after the ball game about the lack of free throw attempts on Friday. Has that been a point of emphasis over the last couple of days, to just be able to get to the free throw line and be more aggressive with the ball?
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, one of the goals and one of the keys every night is to try to win the free throw line. And I think when you do that, you show your aggressiveness. I think we're settling for too many twos, contested twos. And a lot of times that's coming from quick shots and just not using each other, not getting that ball moved from side to side, and allowing being patient enough to allow your offense to create open looks. You know, taking contested twos now early in the shot clock is a low percent shot. And I'm seeing us, we take a lot of contested twos, whether that is a perimeter shot or a runner or a floater in the paint. If it's contested, with the way the game's played now, and teams shooting a ton more threes, your percentage goes way down as far as giving yourself an opportunity to win ball games. We don't shoot a lot of threes anyway, so we really have to value each possession and make sure that we run our offense to get a good look.
When you're playing a young team like this, is the first quarter, the first half, maybe a little bit more important to keep their confidence from growing, and if they hang with you guys?
No, I think you got to play a 48-minute game. You know, Philly, and we showed that we were up 10-14 against them last time we played them. They are a team that scraps. They're playing from behind a lot. But they play 48-minute game. So it's no, you can't play one or two quarters. Can't ever do that in a game. And you have to, you know, certainly respect the game and your opponents, and not look at their record or look at the names. You know, it's a young group, but they're playing for something too. And you know, they scrap for 48 minutes. So you never, you know, play 1, 2, 3 quarters. It's a 48-minute game that we got to play.
What has Thaddeus brought to you guys?
Well, you know, just he's been battling an injury the last month or so, and that's been somewhat of a struggle for him. But you know, that guy that can play the four position, you know, the league is going to more of a smaller spread forward. You know, his ability to defend, handle, make reads at that position has helped us.
Nate, would you like to get more three-pointers, or would you just like your guys to attack the basket to get the lead?
No, you want threes. You want threes, but you want them to come off of attacks. And, you know, we have guys who are comfortable shooting the three, but we have a lot of guys who are much more comfortable with the pull-up. And, you know, you gotta take the shot that you feel is your strength. I think we can get more movement, meaning reversing the ball, screen, come back and attack, and get open looks, whether they're twos or threes, with an attack to the basket, more so than, you know, taking a contested shot with 15, 17, 12. That's a lot of time on the clock. If you're a little bit more patient and your cuts and your screening are good, solid, you can create more open looks.
Thanks. Okay, so that was Nate McMillan prior to the game. You know, a lot of times players or coaches' comments are chopped up, taken out of context. So I wanted to give you a little opportunity to hear his full comments with context and questions prior to the game. And while Sunday was a rough day on the injury front for the Pacers, it was a good day as a whole in the standings in the Eastern Conference. Of course, the Pacers winning, that's always a good thing. But they ended the night in a three-way tie with Atlanta and Milwaukee. Both Atlanta and Milwaukee lost before the Pacers played. And then Miami, the team behind them, also lost up in Boston. So the Pacers currently sit, again, in that three-way tie in the standings with Atlanta and Milwaukee, although if the season were to end today, the Pacers would be seventh because of tiebreaker implications. Now, the Pacers play the Hawks on the last game of the season, and that will determine the tiebreaker between those teams because they only play three times and have split their first two. The Bucks have the tiebreaker over the Pacers right now, as do the Heat, so that last game against Atlanta could be huge if things are knotted up. But regardless, right now, those teams are all knotted up for 5 through 7, and then the Heat are 2 full games behind in 8th place, while the Bulls are 2.5 games back. And the Pistons are 3 games back. So throw the Pistons in there. That's 7 teams still fighting for 5 spots. But the Pacers had a good night with the 3 teams right around them in the standings losing while they were able to beat the Sixers. But I have a feeling these standings are going to fluctuate from night to night, and you're going to have good off nights and then take care of business when you're playing. So it should be a crazy finish to the end of the regular season here. So again, thanks for listening, and also thanks to SeatGeek for presenting this episode. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the current state of the team, the game tonight, injury issues, playing rotations, whatever you have. You can hit me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. You can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all prior episodes are available. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.